This week on Morning Edition, we're asking a cosmic question. If a tree falls in the blogosphere, does it make a sound? A sound that makes sense? This week marks the 10th anniversary of the phrase weblog. This is as good an excuse as we're going to get to pause and sample a fraction of the millions of blogs that are out there. We know that many of you don't read blogs, maybe even think they all sound like this.
I know they say Nicole Kidman had some kind of plastic surgery, or at least Botox. But me, I believe it when she says she hasn't had anything done. At least not to her face.
Anyway, Jackie is so stuck up ever since she got her first boyfriend. We're on our way home from school.
But I think duct tape is really overrated. I mean, it has a practical value, but what about the other kinds of tape?
So that's the blogosphere we think we know. But Renee Montaigne met someone who found something more.
I spoke to Sarah Boxer, a former reporter for the New York Times, who spent a year at her computer trawling the internet for blogs that were compelling enough to make the leap, get this, into a book, an anthology.
I was very skeptical about the idea of putting blogs into a book. First off, bloggers love to do linking, putting in chunks of other people's text, video, this kind of thing. So when you read a blog, and if you can't have the links there, it's sort of like you're hearing one half of a conversation. The other problem is timeliness. A lot of the blogs that people know of are political blogs, and if you try to put these in a book, they spoil, basically.
So Sarah Boxer looked for blog posts that wouldn't go bad. What made the cut? A lot of good stories, anecdotes.
These are stories that are telling of the time, but they are also things that will not spoil if you cannot remember what moment they're talking about.
Give us an example of one that you think is especially good.
Well, this is, I think, especially good. This is a blog called Midnight in Iraq. It's a Marine in Fallujah. But the story is anything but heavy politics.
And I gather the blogger's name is Jeff Barnett, but here it's an actor who's reading the excerpt.
The PX staff has the tendency to overestimate how much of a particular product they can sell. And sometimes it's just weird, like panties. Lacy black women's panties. Underwear that looks too uncomfortable to pick up, much less wear in a combat zone. The PX has a rack full of these, displayed strategically between the Under Armour and the corn chips. My first reaction was disbelief, since their obvious intended use is outlawed in a combat zone. What do panties go for in the States? Hell, I don't know, but I'm guessing at least a dollar.
This was the fun of doing the book, is really discovering, what is this thing called bloggy writing, or is there a thing called bloggy writing? Once you remove the links and you remove the timeliness, it's just its own thing.
It's interesting to talk about the blogs as having a sort of literary quality and value. We recorded one blog that's in your anthology. It's called Old Hag, and the blogger's name is Lizzie Skrinek. Let's listen to her here for a moment reading part of a poem that she wrote.
This is a poem I posted on my blog during the wiretapping scandal. Since it's at best a minor sin to cock your ear and listen in, should we condemn the NSA for simply caring what we say? Think, eavesdropping the global nation hardly counts as a vacation. For all the dish you get on whether Brit and Kev are done forever, there's teenage girls in a dispute if Dave is hot or merely cute. In fact, it's comfort, albeit cold, that someone's with us while on hold.
This is one of the things that she does. She reviews often for the New York Times. She actually has a book of poetry. The thing that's interesting about her poetry is that it does have something of the web. I mean, she mentions Brit and Kev. Later in the poem, she talks about gitmoing spam, fast in the news and out of the news references. It's poetry, but it is also bloggy poetry.
One thing that her blog also, though, illustrates is that people don't just use the blogosphere to launch their careers.
Right.
In fact, with her, the blogosphere is one more outlet, as it is for many people.
But I think that she did feel that she reached people that she would not have reached had she not been blogging. And it is interesting to me that even bloggers who profess to be kind of against the mainstream media really want to be sort of part of that. It's still something to go for.
Although one of the things that does stand out in your anthology is that there are good stories out there that you would only find probably on the web.
Yes, there's one here, a guy by the name of Raed Jarar, and he is an Iraqi. He now lives in the States. And he had an amazing story that I don't think you would find anywhere else about a T-shirt.
And here he is reading from his own blog.
I went to JFK to catch my JetBlue plane to California. Two men approached me. One of them, Inspector Harris, showed me his badge. He said, "People are feeling offended because of your T-shirt." I was wearing my T-shirt, which stated in both Arabic and English, "We will not be silent." لن نصمت. I said, "I'm very sorry if I offended anyone. Isn't it my constitutional right to express myself in this way?" Inspector Harris answered, "You can't wear a T-shirt with Arabic script and come to an airport. It's like wearing a T-shirt that reads, 'I'm a robber,' and going to a bank."
It would seem from these just a couple of examples we've used that the blogs might lend themselves to liberal or left-leaning politics in a way that talk radio has long lent itself to the right wing. But there are blogs, and plenty of them, that have a sort of strong right-of-center stance.
Oh, there are lots of them, and they are some of the more prominent ones. And this is just my sense. But the left-wing ones tend to be easier in a certain way to excerpt, that they are longer sort of arguments. And the right wing tends to have these kind of gotcha moments that, you know, there's one line that gets passed around and passed around until they get noticed by the mainstream media.
Are you now a convert? I mean, do you have favorite blogs that you visit regularly?
Yes, I would say I'm a convert. And I think that just the exercise of trying to get these things to fit in a book really makes you realize just how different it is to write for a blog. I mean, these people are uncensored. They really don't feel like they have anybody looking over their shoulder. They're just out there.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Boxer is the editor of the new book, Ultimate Blogs Masterworks from the Wild Web.
She spoke with her own Renee Montaigne. Our conversations continue tomorrow when we hear how some bloggers are censored or do have people looking over their shoulder and what they do to get around it.